We're starting.
Do you want to start where we're starting?
Yes. Want to start where we're starting?
Let's start with... This is Kendrick.
This is Kyle.
And Joe.
And this is...
Sit talk.
Motherfuckers.
So Kendrick and I are going to briefly finish up a conversation about language.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's just jump into this because we just sit around and talk all the time and sometimes we record it.
So the idea was that a Facebook post the other day someone put up was about home phones and my backpack falling out.
God damn it, Joe.
And so, like, this guy wrote a huge diatribe on the board, on his board to his students about if you use homophones in the papers, he's going to get angry and summon demons to come kill you or something. I didn't really read it. I don't know. I stopped after the first sentence.
Teacherly aggressive.
Yeah. But someone brought up an interesting point that was they can read it still, so it doesn't really matter to them that they're not spelled right. And then Kendrick was like, people are stupid who read that way.
Yeah, that's precisely what I said.
What did you say? I was saying that
there's multiple forms of reading as far as how you can read. And when you first learn it, you're learning vocalization. You're reading it out loud, right? And then you transition from that to sub-vocalization, which is where you can see, they make jokes about people who are still, their lips move when they're reading because they're still vocalizing all the words. Then people make fun of you for that, right? Like, that's a cruel thing that you do to people who don't articulate as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your word on that.
Yeah, well, people do point and laugh at you, Joe. So it's,
Just stop moving your lips, that's what I do.
Also, the lip moving thing you do,
you gotta fit in.
Also, the lip moving thing, too.
But no, I just...
We just point and laugh. Yeah, we just point and laugh at you anyway.
He sits at work a lot, and his mouth's just moving for
no
reason.
Yeah, and then I point and laugh at Joe. That's what I do.
My tongue's just flailing.
So anyway, below that, there's this aspect where you're reading at the speed of your ability to comprehend audio language, verbal language. And that's still what's called sub-vocalization, which is where you are, or at least I think it's called sub-vocalization. I'm expecting comment.
Don't worry, up on Sitsock here we make up terms and they're always
No, there is a term called sub-vocalization. I think it's this, but now I'm beginning to wonder if it's the next version. But I think it's what this is, where you're still thinking in terms of the noises that those words make. And so you're imagining hearing them. And that's how you process written language. And what that means, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, it just means that you're going to read slower than if you can train yourself out of that. And being able to train yourself out of that requires things like you move your eyes faster, you need to train yourself not to think about it, and it's not necessarily very trivial.
I think the main point here is that it's not like someone might counter this on the, you know, imaginary responses that we never get. About like, oh, well, you could, you know, just listen faster and comprehend words that people are saying faster, but you're never going to be able to comprehend it as directly as it going straight to the part of your brain.
A speed reader. Yeah. People who can read 300 words per minute, or not 300 words per minute, faster than that. People who can read, like, a whole page in a split second and then have 100% retention, they're not vocalizing. They're not sub-vocalizing. They can't possibly be. There's no way you can process it. Your brain simply can't handle that much language at once. But it can handle that much abstract concept at once. So it... That's the trick. That's the short circuit to speed reading. I only know all this stuff because I was studying it for a little while, and it came up in some of my classes in school. It was the stuff of how do we learn? How do we assimilate knowledge? How does reading work? If you think about it, is a fucking weird thing. Language itself is already weird, but reading's even weirder.
And that kind of moved into Kendrick talking about giving everybody head. And
well, yeah. I mean, that's basically where this is going to go.
Because you can't speak when a dick is in your mouth. And that's the best time.
I mean,
you're
not wrong.
Well, okay. He was actually talking about the difference between heads up.
It became an idiomatic conversation because the biggest thing that I was saying was, if you are if you're reading at a speed where you're not sub-vocalizing, then homonyms will trip you the fuck up.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're like, wait, what? Because you've disassociated noises from words.
Yeah.
And so you have to slow down. And do it as a vocalization to get
context.
It back.
Because
it's not just context.
You have to know, like, I mean, yes, you're right. You would have to see the word and then it'll fit.
But it's similar to context. I see what you're saying.
Why?
It's because it's not that it's context. It's that I have to remember that the word W-R-I-G-H-T or R-I-G-H-T is pronounced the same way as W-R-I-T-E. Because I've switched that part of my brain off for this.
Oh, okay.
So the word write doesn't have... When I see the word W-R-I-T-E, I just imagine, oh, pens, pencils, writing, paper, these kinds of things. And then when I see write, I think, oh, right turn, good. And then so when those things hit, it causes a hiccup, which isn't like, oh my God, what does this mean? It means I have to stop, retreat a few steps, reread it with my, you know, verbalizer, my sub-vocalizing on, and then go back. And that makes me mad.
To have to do that
because it slows it up. Like if I was, I can almost read at that speed where I can skim and do that. And then when I hit those, it's like, wait a minute. And you just have to switch on a more advanced parser where you're like, okay, let's get the dumb goggles on here.
So I guess this is kind of like an interesting tangent into like what is preferential. Like, I guess as someone who is a slow reader, I particularly like reading slowly, but I don't read that often, right? Like, but I feel like the way that speed reading and reading fast is being presented in this conversation, it sounds like you're about to take a test. Like, you're like, I gotta get as many words off the page that are meaningful, hope for the best, roll the dice that I'm paying attention to the stuff that matters, and now I hope I got it all. And you're like, well, did you enjoy reading it that way?
Well,
like,
again, though, this is a complex concept because there are multiple ways to read, right? This is one of those things, read, right? Read, right?
Oh my god, he just did it! Wrong? Am I doing it right? Oh god, no!
Right, wrong. No, that's the wrong right.
No!
Shit. Cox.
Depends on how you write it, I suppose.
So.
Or how you wrong it.
Okay, so.
Or how you left it?
I can tell you this much. When I'm reading documentation for something that's a technical thing, it's not necessarily a test that I'm testing, that I'm preparing for. It's a, how the shit does this work?
Yeah.
And then I go through, and that's unnecessary profanity, but it's a step down. Thank you. Since instead of having,
I don't know why. But I mean, like, just because someone at work is like now sensitive.
No. That's not the reason I'm doing that. I just like to swap out inappropriate swear words. So it's like, how the cocking shit does this fuck? And like, what does that even mean? I lost context, bro.
I got that. Context, I understood what bump. You said. Yeah.
Context fist bump.
Context fist bump.
So. What I'm saying is, in that context of me speed reading through documentation to figure out how a particular function works in a programming language, right? I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to sit there and enjoy the word choice that they had and imagine the flowery speech. I'm going to burn through it and look for key phrases I'm looking for. I'm going to try to assimilate as much as possible to know for adverse side effects that might happen when I do it. And so as a result, it's a speed read. I'm trying to retain 100%, but I'm not sitting there, I don't have time to sit here and enjoy it, because it's not really a pleasurable read. It's meant to just jam information in my head. And so that's where that kind of ability to read quickly and assimilate technical knowledge is valuable.
See, to me, that's interesting, because as someone who'd want to glean as much as I could from that piece, that document, I'd want to read it all fully. Like,
I'm reading it fully, but I'm not vocalizing. What I'm doing is I'm reading it to get the content. As opposed to something where
you're still reading it.
As opposed to where you're reading dialogue.
Comprehending every word. So
yeah,
the way
still
that
comprehend every word
presented to me was that you're picking like words, certain words out of a sentence that
that's,
give you the
that's
entire
skimming.
Sentence.
That's skimming.
Okay.
Speed reading is where like actual speed readers can assimilate an entire sentence 100% in a fraction of a second. That's the skill that they've developed.
It almost seems like photographic in a way.
It partially is. It does connect with an eidetic memory. That is an aspect of it. Those are related concepts. But you really basically got to be able to assimilate knowledge super fast. And there's a limit. There's a finite limit to how fast you can assimilate verbalized language. That's kind of that's the premise. Now, is it 100% true? I don't really know. I can't say. I don't know how quickly you can assimilate a verbal language. I talk really ridiculously fucking fast, and people rarely understand me, but that's also because I'm mumble, because I slur, because I'm drunk all the time. So, like, I can understand where there'd be some issues there, but I feel like there is a maximum speed. If you ever listen to sped up recordings, there's a maximum speed where you can listen to words before you just can't assimilate them.
Sure.
Anymore.
And that speed is always going to be slower than...
Well, what you ought to do sometime, and maybe we'll have a follow-up on this one, is there's a thing you can do, I forget what it's called, but you point your eyes at a specific spot on the screen, and it flashes the words in a sentence sequentially in front of it at a speed, and the speed keeps going faster and faster, and you'll realize you can still comprehend. There's a point where you can't follow anymore, but that point is a lot faster than you realize.
Yeah.
And that's if you can break yourself and sub-vocalize it, because all of a sudden these words are just flying into your head. And you don't even realize that they're doing it, but you realize that you retain what happened.
And you know what the sentence is from.
Yeah, you retain it, and you're like, holy shit. Because the instructions are presented in it, and you're like, oh my god, I understood what just happened.
And I guess so originally this conversation led to a comment thread where people were talking about, you know, certain things, and one person brought up the aspect of language that was like, well, what if someone who's not from our country originally, like, tries to read this, and it doesn't make sense because there's so many homophones? And I was like, and I asked this question, I said, does the value of language... Like, do you evaluate language based on the fact, on the ability for other people who don't speak it to learn it? Or is it that we value it based on the ability for people who speak it to understand it? That was just the question I posed, and I thought
I think that the trick there is that you're kind of conflating the concept of a foreign person or a complete non-speaker with someone attempting to learn it.
Sure, but I'm...
And I don't think we should... I don't think that a language should make concessions for non-speakers.
That's what I'm saying. That was my
that's
point.
Not, that's out the window.
That was my point.
You need to have a... But what I think the concessions should be made for uniformity and consistency in a language so that you can actually use the language correctly, so someone who's attempting to learn the rules of the language can follow what you're saying. Because it's the issue of using too much vernacular and colloquialisms whereby you only can understand it if you have a thorough cultural background, as opposed to, you know, a brief cultural background.
It's very... I was just... In the book on tape I'm listening to in my car, they're talking about the characters learning a new language, and the language... They compare his language to a wide, shallow pool, so lots of words with very exact meanings,
yeah,
to the new language he's learning is a deep well, where there's fewer words, but each...
Right.
Each, like, word has a breadth of different things it can mean and imply, and it's all based on, like, your... A lot more, like... body motion and inflection and things like that. So you're saying that the language that has more inflection in it is harder, harder for people to learn, right?
No, I'm saying either of these, you should use the right words.
But if a word means multiple things, which one's...
But
the
a
right
word doesn't mean multiple things just because it's a homophone.
No, that's not what I'm saying in this case. I think I'm moving past
that. If you're transitioning to where a word contains multiple meanings and it's highly contextual,
yeah,
then that's fine. Just make sure you're using your context in a clear and unambiguous way.
And that's part of the learning of the language, though. So in that point, you're not learning the rules for grammar. You're learning the proper, like, social nuances of a word, right?
Right, the context and the unambiguity. I mean, a fine example is Japanese, which has an incredible number of words that have the exact same pronunciation and, I think, spelling. Like, it's written very similarly, or it's pronounced the same and it's impossible to comprehend what someone's saying. Like, it's a homophone, but to the nth degree. Mm. And they have a lot more overwrite. Like, we have right, which means the direction that's not left, the thing that's not bad, and to put things on paper. And they have one word that I believe means, is it Gohan, means rice, chopstick, and bridge. And it's like, their language is filled with that stuff.
It seems like fiddly contextually.
It's filled with it, but contextually, there's not that much confusion, except for one trick that it does have, which might speak to your point, which is that Japanese has a cultural phenomenon of old man jokes that we can't translate because they're all playing on all those word puns.
Interesting.
Where it's not as simple as, like, give me this rice while I carry this chopstick across the bridge, where you just say Gohan over and over again. Mm-hmm. But it's things that I can't really even articulate. I had someone explain it to me, and I was like, I can't explain that in English because it's nuances of their language, which are basically puns. But you can't translate the pun literally because the pun goes away. So that's a situation where, yeah, it's highly contextual, and it really got to know your language and culture to fit in and understand that shit. But at the same time, I think that it's that intention. If you use the wrong word because you don't know the right word to use, then that's on you. You need to know the words in your language.
Sure, sure.
If you use the wrong word to elicit a humorous effect as a pun or something like that...
Dumb argument. Like,
what, get good?
No, because I'm not using your language then, and that's all I have to say.
But you are using English.
No, I can't be using... I'm using the words that English once used, and so are you. You're using words that an older version of English did use once. And it's just constantly changing all the time. So, like,
it's constantly changing all the time. Okay,
I can have rules for my language that you don't know. Like, just... But that's why I'm talking about valuation of language. It's like currency. Like, I can make up a dollar, any kind of money, but it doesn't mean anything.
Right, but at the same aspect of that, if you're using language to communicate, and if you can't communicate because you're causing confusion, then the language is worthless.
That's what I'm just said. Like, it's all about the value of the language
yes,
you're using.
The value of the
more people that use a language, the more people
right.
feel like there needs to be these really hard rules about how the language is used.
But and that's so that it's effectively communicated.
I can communicate with you and I don't use English properly.
No, and I have struggled to keep up with you.
Yes, but I'm not talking about my horrible texting. That's a horrible another issue.
When I first met you, I struggled to understand you in general.
My lack of
I have learned to use your subtext and context and inflection and perceive what you say.
How is my English that much different than normal English? That I'm speaking English.
When you're speaking, it's not that bad, but okay. When you're speaking it, you're not really deviating from
and
standard
that
English.
That was my
much.
Original point, is that homophones
that
only
deviating.
Matter with grammar. Like, they only matter with writing. Like,
well, and I would say that you're writing incorrectly then.
No, I well, Yeah, okay. But...
And if someone can manage to decipher your nonsense, then that's great.
I'm not talking specifically about me. I'm talking about how interesting it is that writing and speech are so drastically different.
Yes,
how
yes.
You don't have to worry about... And almost...
Can we go back to making fun of you, though?
No, okay. I don't want to get focused on that today, because I don't feel like I'm as wrong as you seem to think I am.
But I know you are, though, and I want to say
that's fine and great, but this podcast is not called Let's Tell Kyle How Wrong He Is and Make Him Feel
Everyone
Bad.
Shit on Kyle.
Yeah, that's a better name than the one I had, see? Your grasp of the English language is...
Way better than yours.
Way better.
We already knew better.
So, I guess to me, it's just like... Well, like, I'm trying to find a good analogy where you're like... Speaking is like driving power wheels, and like writing is like driving the most complicated vehicle you've ever driven in your life, because
while we're talking on the communication games, here's the thing. When you're speaking to somebody with verbal language, in addition to words, you've got inflection, tone, and body language, and cultural implications that simply aren't there in writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you're doing with your hands can change what you're doing. Yeah. Kyle's flipping me off.
No, I'm not.
Kyle's giving me a thumbs up now.
It's a thumbs up.
Kyle's touching himself inappropriately right now. Please tell me that's not the sound you're making. So anyway.
Not in
the car at all. Just no cars. Just don't do it in the car ever.
Okay,
so,
I'm done.
So that's what I'm saying is, when you're writing, you don't get to have any of those things. So your nuances have to be in... the rigid grammatical structure that we have, and then your manipulation of it.
I guess, like, that's where I come back to, like, context in writing. Like, you can sometimes... Well, this is... I just killed my argument. Damn it. I said something.
How?
I was going to say, people can give...
So I win the podcast
today. Damn it! Fuck this! People can inflect sarcasm and inflect like emotion through writing.
Through careful manipulation of grammar.
Okay, give me an example.
Well, I mean, I can't write something for you right now.
No, write it now.
Okay.
You can give me an example of what someone would do to show
that. Well, okay, you said they could. Like that they could do that, they could do sarcasm.
Sure.
So you want an example of written dialogue? You have to have a description.
No. I guess what I'm saying is it's all based in like the society that you're in, right?
Well, absolutely. Sarcasm has to be linked.
So,
to society.
But the thing is that if society is determining how you can write sarcasm, like how you can communicate a concept that is normally done with facial expressions,
sure.
Gestures and body language into writing. And society is what's helping you understand that in the writing. Like, doesn't that mean something about, like, communication in general? That
language is intrinsically linked to culture?
Sure, but that means that, like, if even Texas could have different rules for English than us.
They do.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though, is that...
Like, culturally,
like, grammar, like, this hierarchical valuation of people based on their grammar, to me, is so stupid. Like... Because if you're from the South, you're not going to have the same English as I do.
But if you write in a clear and technically correct fashion, everybody who understands English will be able to read it.
With regard to writing in, like, a resume or, like, something where, like, I guess for some reason a bunch of people got together and decided that they needed to communicate with only, like, dots and dashes and exclamation marks,
oh,
and
like
that's
the
only way that you have to communicate. I was thinking more of, like, I was just making fun of, like, the way that scientific writing works, because sometimes it's so asinine that you're like, this is retarded. Like,
well, and that's a subculture, right?
Most cultures that have these super-duper, like, books of rules for writing are subcultures.
Well, that's the problem. The problem with that is it's a subculture, but it's agreed upon by all people in that language as the correct way.
But it's not.
Here's the thing. It's the technically correct way. It's the Hochdeutsch. It's the high speak. It's the high Gothic, whatever it is. It's the one that everyone agrees on is the best way to articulate your point. Now, no one necessarily uses it 100%. My grammar isn't 100% correct. I stop at where I push it until it's unambiguous, and that's where I draw the line for me. And as to whether we should use Oxford commas or trailing commas, you know, all of that shit. My point is it ambiguous?
I don't feel like,
or
you
not.
Know, Shaniqua talking to her friend and using Ebonics is ambiguous between them either.
And that's contextual. When they're talking to each other, that's grand.
When they're talking to the greater community that also uses that language,
and that's
still
also
grand.
Fine. But yeah. When they try to talk to me, and I'm like,
but you can't talk to them me. Either.
Well, that's the problem. I should be able to with English.
But what you're saying is, like, my English is the English, and your English
it's
isn't,
not my,
so
it's
learn
not
my English.
My English, that's the one. It's
okay,
the one
it
that I
matter.
Use
you're
is
saying...
the one that's considered accepted by educational facilities, institutions, publishers, all the people who manage written words. Shaniqua is not
sure.
publishing a newsletter or a newspaper or a blog.
Sure.
And so she can't be an authority. And it is a minority of people. And so for that one, you've got to kind of fall in line with the majority, the common speak, the best way to do it. I'm not ever going to tell someone they shouldn't speak Ebonics or they shouldn't speak Lent. I speak in the most contextually and subtextually specific ways you can imagine. I have been able to live my life on the internet mostly commenting in pictures from that I found. Like, that's fucking as obscure as you can get.
Yeah, but the thing is though, you call these people the minority, and I don't think they're actually a minority. Like, because I'm not 100% sure I agree that...
I can tell you that Ebonics speakers are a minority.
Okay, fine, cool. But I don't think that the people who are determining the use of the language are the majority.
They maintain the majority of the written
yes,
word.
Yes, they definitely have something that allows them to talk about rules for English that are...
I'll put it this way. It's the lingua franca. It is the most common... Because between all of the dialects and all the variations and all of the subtext and all of the contexts, testicles.
Oh, okay, sorry. I'm sorry. It wasn't...
No, between all of those, the one thing that's in common with all of them is that they are somewhat adjacent to this core concept of grammar. Now, they might use less of it or more of it, but they're all still fitting in related to that. They're all shadows of this greater, purer grammar. Which is laid out as specifically as possible to prevent ambiguity.
But what
does
about,
that mean
what
we have to use it? No.
Like you or are when texting. Those don't have any difference to me in most of the time. Like, or I mean, even any of the time. Fuck it. I'll go to the stream.
Now we're trying to discuss whether you should apply the, so-and-so's writing manual to texting, which is not necessarily what I'm saying at all.
Okay,
texting
that's
is
what
a,
it kind
texting,
of feels like, though. Like,
but texting
like,
is a highly shorthand thing. That is designed for quick messages that are extremely contextual.
And I won't disagree with you on the fact that if you're going to write professionally, follow rules for
that. And what I'm saying is if you're writing professionally that way, how is that not subscribing to a more precise and agreed upon standardized grammar?
Because I don't think I should have to do that.
I'm not saying you have to.
Well, I have to, though.
But where do you have to?
Because I guess it's another society thing. So I'm
well,
kind of
but no. Where do you point. Have to? Who's making you? Who's docking
the people,
you points on
the
your
people
texts?
That aren't giving me jobs because of it. The people that
okay,
are
okay. So
are,
you have to
are,
in a professional
that
context.
Are putting me down because I'm not like the one that uses proper English in a text message. Like this is like more like a so like on OkCupid a lot people will put in their profiles. Don't talk to me if you can't text right. Like you can't text the correct way. And I'm like that seems so silly to me. Like that type of like well, valuation judgment of a human. It seems so. Like completely arbitrary because you're like I'm going to ignore their personality I'm going to ignore their taste in everything that they love I'm going to ignore their passion
well, I can tell
just
you,
because they
I can
can't
tell you one of the
right.
reasons that that's probably happening
talk
is
correctly.
Speak correctly
is, no fucking cocking damn it
one of the reasons people will do that is that they're trying to filter out people who aren't educated because they're looking for
but I'm educated and I talk like that
I'm not saying it's an intelligent choice I'm just saying that that's what they're attempting to do is to filter out people who aren't educated. Because for their in their value system, education is more valuable than not.
So are people like me the exception that makes that rule, or
well,
are they,
well,
we just,
well,
like
people like people you would be an example where those people didn't think their plan
right,
through
EGF,
that far ahead.
You know, well, I could,
and
okay.
that's on them.
And it's just like that's so frustrating. I mean, I guess it's more we're moving into more of like a let's talk about how people are just prejudgmental, and that's maybe not the point of this podcast, but it grinds my gears.
It grinds your gears. Well, I wanted to start this podcast discussing. Contrasting the Aristotelian teleological ethical constructs with a more
wow.
post...
it didn't really work out for you,
yeah,
did
it? Really, yeah.
How about
well,
you, Joe?
With the deontological
who's
implications
been
of
stepped
of a,
over, who's actually yeah. still in the back seat.
I
Joe is still
with
Liam
times,
Neeson.
But man, this
you gotta,
was just fun to fucking watch.
You gotta step up, man. You gotta throw it in there.
No,
Joe,
no,
what
no.
do you think about this? As a communicator with different
let's do the last 5 or 10 minutes of this podcast with just Joe talking, and me and Kendrick will try our damnedest...
Put my
shut
fist in my mouth.
Fuck up and listen to Joe. All right.
Sorry. No. I just,
wait.
I did want to pipe in a couple of times, and I tried to throw a couple of things in, but man, that was just a lot of fun to watch and just observe. and listen to you guys bicker like an old married couple. I don't know, there's kind of a fine line, because everyone does communicate differently, kind of as Kyle's saying, if I could sum up kind of his point, is that there is a lot of difference between communication. That being said, what I feel like we came into this with was the comparison of homonyms, of that if you use write, as in to write with a pen, in the place of write, as in the direction, or even write, as in it is the correct way, you're causing confusion and breaking down. Not confusion, that's a different thing altogether, but confusion and breaking down the communication that you're trying to establish. If you try and use the word right, as in to right, to give the direction you need to turn right up here at our exit, it's going to be jarring and confusing, and you've possibly disjointed the entire conversation altogether. Now, that's, again, specifically with just the written word. I feel like there are a lot of kind of those major differences like you guys were talking about when it comes to actually verbal communication, because that breakdown's not as simple. It's easier to get because you have so many different variations of context. So you've got, as again, just kind of summing up everything that Kendrick was saying for that, and that you've got gesturing and tone and inflection. That being said, there are certain types of, like, if you get a very heavy southern draw and put them in with somebody who is, like, far north, almost Canadian, I feel like there's going to be a lot of confusion to what they're trying to say to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like...
And if they texted each other, they'd be fine.
Just made me think of when you're texting, R-I-T-E, whenever you text. Like, we have colloquialism that's turned into improper word usage.
Well, okay, so I would say this really much. Interesting. I would say in this one, in response to all that stuff, if we're going to focus on texting, I would say texting occupies a middle ground between written and verbal.
I was going to say that, too. It's like it's almost its own thing.
Because it is verbalized.
Yeah.
I've never read a text without sub-verbalizing it.
How do you speed read text when I send you books?
No, there's a
you don't ever send
key and heel scratch about that. Have you guys seen that?
No.
The text conversation. I will send that to you. Okay. It's basically like
key and he'll and send heel. It to you too, listeners.
We'll link it in the chat thing. Hopefully,
we'll text it to
we
each
remember.
Other. And they're just one dude is losing his mind because he's like overemphasizing certain words that Peel is like sending him. He's just like, "Do you want to even hang out tonight?" And he's like, "Do I want to hang out tonight? Oh, that's very considerate. No, man, I don't care." He's like, "I don't care? What do you mean I don't care?"
That is probably the best version of what happens when you read text messages ever. That's why I feel like text messaging is awesome, but like you really have to get FaceTime with people.
I have definitely texted people I didn't know that well and just stared at the text message like, for hours. Like, oh, I don't know what this means.
What are they trying to say?
Yeah. What does this mean?
It turns out most of the time people don't overthink everything.
No, they just sent it.
It's like, oh, that's great.
Why did they spell out you here?
Why did they say good instead of great or grand or any of the other words that mean good?
Why did they say okay? She said fine. What does fine mean? Is fine good? Is fine bad? Is fine
where fine means that everything is totally wrong?
Fuck. What the fuck?
That's where we handle the pressure. Whenever you're trying to date someone,
always go for cheese.
Yeah, always use cheese because cheese is, you know, got many uses.
It's just called two brothers. It's just called cheese. So this is Kendrick,
Kyle,
and Joe.